From time to time in the CE Hour, we are going to connect the sermon to a particular doctrine. A few years ago, we spent 2 years going through systematic theology. And so we want to connect the sermon to a doctrine, but not for doctrine's sake, because we kind of already did that. We want to do this for application's sake. So we want to take the doctrine that we taught on and see how it applies to our lives. And so we're calling this series Doctrine for Life. And it's not going to be consecutive every week. It's going to just be hit and miss throughout the spring and into the summer. So today, it was obvious what doctrine was the fabric, so to speak, or the sieve of the sermon today, and that was the doctrine of creation. And Pastor Paul went through a whole lesson on the doctrine of creation, and actually we had the benefit of hearing Bob Bonahum talk about creation and evolution here four or five months back. So, all that said, someone comes to you and they ask you, do you believe in evolution? It's never going to be direct like that, but in a roundabout way, that's what they're asking. What's your beliefs? And you say, no, I don't believe in evolution. I believe in creation. And they say, okay, well, what do you mean by that? What is that? And you say, I believe that God created all things for His glory. And that's actually good. It's simple. But there's actually two more elements that I think are needed for a sort of biblical doctrine of creation. We teach our kids the catechism, and you know, the first question is who made you? God. What else did God make? Everything or all things. Why did He make you and all things? For His own glory. So God made all things for His own glory. That's really good, and I think we can add two more elements to the definition, what we're going to do today. So let's look at this. Again, this is just sort of summarizing review from what Pastor Paul's done earlier, but the doctrine is this. The doctrine of creation states that the triune God created all things good out of nothing for His own glory. So, you can see the two parts I've added. What are they? What?
Triune.
Well, okay, I've added triune. Yes. Okay, but that wasn't the one I was looking for, but I did add that. Yes, good and
nothing.
And out of nothing. All right, so let's look at this. We're going to briefly run through this because most of you know this. You're familiar with this. Maybe some of you don't. So I'm going to hit sort of high level so we're all on the same page, and then we'll kind of swoop down and get to the implications and application. So biblical support, the triune God created. So the Father was involved in creation. Genesis 1:1. Look at your sheets. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens and earth is shorthand in the Bible for everything. Okay, so that's what it's saying. It's shorthand for God created everything. That's how they said it in Hebrew, how it's translated to us, heavens and earth in English. So God created all things, seen and unseen. Isaiah 45:18, for thus says the Lord who created the heavens, He is the God who formed the earth and made it, and He established it and did not create it a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no one else. The Son, Jesus, was also involved in creation. John 1, verse 3, all things came into being through Him. You look at the context there, through Jesus. And apart from Him, Nothing came into being that has come into being. And another verse, 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through Him. And as you know, the Holy Spirit was involved in creation. Genesis 1:2, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. In Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Okay? So the triune God created. What did God create? He created, second, letter B, the second sort of point in this definition is He created all things, heaven and earth, Acts 4:24. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is You who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. He made humanity. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man, male and female, in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And then God made the spiritual universe. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. So the spiritual world, angels, demons, all the unseen world that we cannot see with our physical eyes, God has created. And then to our message this morning, letter C, this second or third proposition of the definition, God created, the triune God created all things good. Genesis 1:4, God saw light, the light was good. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And, you know, you're familiar with the Genesis account, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And, of course, when he gets to humankind, it was very good. And then our text from this morning, 1 Timothy 4:4, for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. Now, I didn't highlight this morning, but notice this is a New Testament text. Right? 1 Timothy's in the New Testament. It's post-fall. And yet, there is this affirmation that the creation is good. That's important, and we're going to see how that's important in a minute. That the creation is good, even post-fall. So, God created, the triune God created all things good, and then out of nothing. This is ex nihilo. That's the Latin. Romans 4:17, as it is written, a father of many nations I have made you in the presence of him who he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And then, God made all things, triune God made all things good out of nothing for His own glory. Psalm 19:1, the heavens are telling the glory of God. It's what we sung, that this is my Father's world. I love that hymn. You love that hymn? He speaks to me everywhere. All right? It's not some kind of pantheism. He's talking about Noah's saying, the heavens, the earth is telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. And Revelation 4:11, worthy are You, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. So we flew through that really fast. Maybe we can say it together. So let's all say the definition together. The triune God created all things good out of nothing for his own glory. If you can remember the catechism questions, the little simple ones, God made all things for his glory, and add the good and the out of nothing, then I think that's a pretty robust statement of the doctrine of creation. We miss the good. We miss the good to our detriment, the good part of it, of that definition, as I tried to communicate this morning. So what are the implications? Well, I want to kind of set this up. And to do that, I want us to see how the creation is related to the Creator or the Supreme Being or whatever someone wants to call God if they believe in God. Okay, so we're going to look at these. There's five of them we're going to look at. The relationship of creation and creator. First, there's materialism. And materialism says is all there is material. So you see this diagram here. It's a diagram of the universe. And what is missing? What is missing? There's a circle and it says universe. What is missing?
Everything.
What?
Everything.
Okay, well, no, that's actually included in that. Universe. Everything is here.
God.
God. Exactly, God. Materialism says all that there is material. There is no creator. Everything, you know, however they propose that it started and we're here and everything that you see is all that can be seen. Secondly, there's pantheism. And pantheism says, kind of a other extreme, is all that there is God. And we know this view, right? The tree is God, the grass is God, and on and on and on. And so some would take this as my Father's world. He speaks to me everywhere as kind of that, you know, in that light. That's not what the hymn's talking about. So pantheism, all that there is God. Third, there's dualism. Dualism is God and creation eternally exist side by side. God is good. Creation is evil. That's the error that we talked about in the sermon this morning. The big error that I said exists. That's that. I was talking with someone earlier, and it's just as much in Protestantism as it is in Roman Catholicism. This desire to retreat, as I was talking about, from the world, to reject the world. And it comes from this idea of the world being evil, the material thing is, material is evil and spiritual is good. Fourth, deism. Deism, God created, but he's not involved. So there's God and there's the universe. And he created, but he's not involved. Now, the diagram is hard to picture for that. So if we look at the next diagram, the biblical view, creationism, we see how this relates. God is separate from creation, but creation is dependent on God. Okay? God is separate from creation, but creation is dependent on God. God created all things, and God upholds and abstains all things by his power, and we call that providence. Does that make sense? So that kind of sets the framework now for letter B. Since the triune God created all things good out of nothing for his own glory, we are to find gratitude and joy in and enjoy creation. God created the world for our enjoyment. We read it this morning in Psalm 104. He causes the grass to grow for cattle and vegetation for the labor of man, so that he may bring forth fruit from the earth, and wine which makes man's heart glad. so that he may make his face glisten with oil, and food which sustains man's heart. This is contra. This is not your notes, but what I say is that is contra to dualism. So I think you see that. Now, here's my next question in letter C, but what about the fall? Though the world is fallen, this does not mean that it is intrinsically evil. God's creation is intrinsically good. The problem comes when we abuse and misuse creation. But this does not make it evil. So let me give you some examples. Money is not intrinsically evil, but we abuse the gift of money when we, as Timothy says, Paul tells Timothy, is when we love money. What happens? What does he say? The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Another example, sex. Sex is not intrinsically evil, but it can be misused when it's outside of marriage. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So sex is intrinsically good, yet it can be misused in the case of fornication or adultery or many other things. The principle is that God's creation is good, but that it can be misused and abused. Luther once said, when speaking about alcohol, he said, "We ought not to reject or condemn anything because it is abused." We should not reject or condemn anything because it is abused. Do you understand? All right, so what I want to do now, this is the application part of this. I want to bring this to application, and I want us to spend the rest of our time this morning. We're going to go to 11:15. We're going to go through these application questions at your tables. Okay? So all the tables look pretty good, except you guys might want to move over there. Unless, you want to stay together, that's fine too.
I know what you think.
I'm not going to get in between you.
There's technically one left.
Yes. All right. So let's go through these application questions and let's discuss this. Let's apply what we heard in the sermon and taking this knowledge of the doctrine of creation and work these things out. Work these issues out. All right? Because I know that you have some questions. I know you feel tension, and I want us to work these things out together. All right? So let's do that. And at 11:15, I will bring us back together and close us.
What do you think?